Well, Father, we thank you for this time in your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to come into your holy temple, into your holy throne room. You have said, Michael, Nate, Jean, Charlene, come in. Come in all who want to be here. Lord, we thank you that you've opened the door for us and that you sincerely want us there. So Lord, we thank you for this word that we're about to receive tonight. It's from your heart to ours. And Father, we thank you for revelation. Thank you, Lord, for revealing in our now moments as we walk through our life the fullness of your word as we receive and walk it out, Lord. Thank you, Father, for tonight. It truly is a treasure to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, the title of our, naturally, we're still in our series, Walking in the Ways of the Lord, Part 35. And we're starting tonight on kindness, a fruit of the Spirit. And I know it will be two, maybe three. I don't know what the next title will be, so I didn't put part one on there. I know the subject, I just don't know how I'm going to title it yet. So, but there'll be, I'm going to say there'll be three. Because what we'll be talking with next week is, to me, is one of the most awesome parts of Scripture. And it just shows the heart of God so vividly that I don't think that I can get far with it next week. So I think there'll be three. Well, we'll start with our statement for this section on kindness. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk. They are others-centered, developing the fruit of kindness in every area of their lives. That is a commitment that we need to make. You know, as we walk the love walk, kindness follows.
Amen.
If we're not walking the love walk, we're not kind. You know, we're going to see some neat things, I think, about kindness. I got a lot more studying to do, but we'll start with our foundation scripture again, which is Galatians 5, 22-23, and this is the New King James Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, the King James, instead of kindness, it says gentleness. And instead of gentleness, it's got meekness. Which, meekness is fine, but as we go through the studies on these different fruits, we'll find out that kindness is a better translation of the word used here. Out of those 21 Bibles I've told you that I have on my computer, only the King James calls it gentleness. But not, and a kind person is going to be gentle. But it outflows from kindness, but it's still not exactly the same word. So, and from all of the translations I looked at, they all say kindness there. And just the one says gentleness. It's the same word, means the same thing. And you think, well, kindness and goodness are the same thing. Well, they're really not. That's why the fruit of the Spirit lists them separately. Because while they sound the same, they're different enough that it requires different fruits, although they're connected, as we'll see. Webster's dictionary says that kindness is the state, quality, or habit, and that word habit is important, habit of being kind. We're going to go through a lot of points before we get to our next scripture. Wiest, that's another translation, Wiest says, it is a quality of or grace that pervades and penetrates the whole nature, mellowing in it all that is harsh and sharp. When the fruit of kindness is operating in our lives, it mellows our nature. So if we are habitually kind, it affects our whole nature. It affects the way we treat people. It affects how we see things. It affects our peace. As I mentioned earlier in our series, that the fruit of the Spirit all work together. You can't remove one and it not affect the others. if you're not walking in one, it will affect the others, even though you may be walking in some, to some degree, in the other fruits. It will affect your ability to walk in the fullness of it. They draw on one another. They're dynamically linked to where they require each other. And they all require love because they all flow from love. So anytime you see any of these fruits and are checking your life to see if that's there or you're struggling with one of the fruits, check on your love walk. Because that's where the fault will be. That's where the problem will be for your power supply. For that fruit to work. But they all work by love, and they all require each other to work, to complete their work. So it's important. That's why it's so important for us to study these things. And we're not just studying the fruit of the Spirit. We're studying the ways of God, which are supposed to be our ways. And these are all His ways. See, they're the fruit of the Spirit. Or the product of His presence. I don't manufacture these fruits. They are in me because the Holy Spirit's in me. They are His fruits. And they affect me, and I'm the one that allows them to flow through me. I make that choice. They're present in me whether I make the choice for them or not. I have the privilege of God, from God, to walk in them. And it's my choice that I do it. I don't have to, even though I'm born again and even though they're present. I have the right of choice not to. But if I am, if I'm not walking in them, I'm automatically carnally minded. And I'll be walking in my flesh. But if you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, you're walking in tune with God. You're hearing His voice. These fruits are being produced for others. They affect me, but the fruit is for others. They flow through me to others. I'm that vine or that branch that these fruit hang on. So it's so awesome that God allows us not only to reveal these fruits, to walk in them, to be these kind of people based on these fruits, but it's so awesome that He allows us to actually participate in them, and it benefits us as we do. The fruit not only benefits others, but they benefit us as it flows through us to others. Mm-hmm. If we don't allow the fruit to flow through us to others, then we don't get no benefit out of it. We're automatically carnally minded. Mm-hmm. So it's important that as we study walking in the ways of the Lord, that we study the fruits, that we have some kind of knowledge of them. And like it said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, verse 23 says there is no law against them. In other words, nothing, no natural law can stop them from working. Satan cannot do anything to keep us from walking in these. We have the right to. It's the Holy Spirit's fruits. We're walking in His fruit. Satan cannot stop them. So if I choose to be patient, I can be patient. I just got to make my choice for that. I may not be kind as I was growing up and living my life to this point, I may not been a habitually kind person, but I can be. If I'm born again, I have the ability and the right, and I'm qualified to walk in kindness. See, it's my carnal nature that doesn't allow me to do that. So I need to resist that and start turning my carnal nature so that I can walk in the kindness of God. The benefits are outstanding for doing so. But when I walk in kindness, it requires the other fruits, and they kind of tag along with me. What the fruit of the Spirit does, the one that's needed at the moment is the one that's in prominence. See, if I need patience for something, kindness helps with the patience, but patience is the primary one that's functioning. Or I may need faithfulness, or one of the other fruits, or joy. But see, when I tag kindness to joy, now it just flows together that way. But there's different times when different fruits need to be in prominence. But to be in prominence and do their job, they're drawing on strength from the others. They are one. Okay, that's what we says. Now here's what Young's and Strong Concordance say. Young's and Strong Concordance say that kindness is usefulness. A kind person is a person that is useful and a blessing to others. That blessing to others is important. I can be useful, but not be a blessing. I can do it grudgingly, but still do it. Kindness and goodness are connected. And I just mentioned that. They draw from one another. They have to have each other. Kindness and goodness. Goodness is our next fruit. They are both fruits of the Spirit, relying on each other and flow together, but are not the same. That is why they are listed separately in the fruit of the Spirit. If they were the same, it would be, say, kindness and goodness as a fruit. But every one of them says kindness and goodness, separate. And there's a reason for that. We'll get into that more probably when we get into goodness. In today's world, as you all know, we are in desperate need of kindness. This is not something that especially the church can ignore. It's not something that we can just sit back and say, well, I'm not normally a kind person, or I'm kind in my own way. You know, as long as you do it my way, we can do some kindness here. You know, but that's not the kind of that's not the kind of world we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a world full of kindness. The church is supposed to be eloquent, I guess would be a good word, eloquent in walking in kindness. It should be something that when you see a Christian, you see kindness. It should be the way we are, because this kindness is living in us. We should be practicing this in such a way that people recognize the difference as we go through problems and things.
Well, we all know what unkindness is.
Oh, yeah. You know. We'll make it known that you've been unkind to me. Well, yeah, I mean, we'll get rather upset about that. But we don't recognize when we're not kind. Or if we do, we think we justify it. You know, well, they were unkind to me. So, meh. You just can't do it that way, you know. Yeah. You have no excuse. So, we live in a world where we are in desperate need of kindness. You know, I was thinking when I put that in there about the way for one thing, in the past they didn't have communications like we have now. You might see a neighbor once in a while, or just maybe in a 5 or 10 mile area. You knew everybody because they couldn't travel. There was just not the ability to travel and communicate like we have today was not there. So those that were close together in their area, they'd go to church, they'd stay all day there. They'd eat there, they'd have games and things after church. It'd be a fellowship day. It wouldn't be just going to church. It'd be the community, a community gathering time. And they shared their lives together. When one had a problem, got sick or something, and they had a crop out there, they all showed up to get that crop in. Yeah. You know, they were habitually kind. It was just the way they lived. And to some degree, I experienced that growing up, even 70 years ago. I experienced some of that kind of kindness. It was there. Unkindness was there, but it wasn't promoted like it is now. It wasn't communicated like it is now. Now, you struggle to find kindness. I mean, you do. Even in some churches, you struggle to find kindness. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, it shouldn't be that, especially in the house of God. And it's something that we need to start communicating with each other. And we have some sermons on it. We need to have some Bible studies on these, on the fruit. What is it? Why is it there? Why has God given it to us? Because we don't have any excuse. And because God's given it to us, we're going to stand accountable for that.
That's right.
What are we doing with what He gave us? We're going to be accountable for the fruit of the Spirit. Because he gave it to us. Mm-hmm. It's not got anything to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's separate. That's another gift he gave us. But the fruit of the Spirit itself came to empower us to live a Christian life. That's why he placed himself in us. He knew we couldn't walk through this world in this darkness, especially the darker it gets, without his presence. And with his presence, he brought the fruit so that we could be empowered to walk in victory in these areas of life if we will focus on them. If we will recognize that they're there and how to use them. With the fruit of the Spirit present and operating in our lives, we do not have to live like the world lives. And we need to recognize that statement. And I just got in saying, we are in desperate need of kindness. Well, with the fruit of the Spirit present and operating, two different things. Every born again person, if you got born again, the fruit of the Spirit's there, so it's present. But it has to be in operation, and that means I have to do something to walk in it. It's my decision. I draw on it. I yield to it. I yield my life to it. That's my job. With the fruit of the Spirit present and operating in our lives, we do not have to live like the world lives. Now, what's the automatic opposite statement of that? Without the fruit of the Spirit present and operating in our lives, we will have to live like the world lives. It's that simple. If we're not going to live like the world lives, then we have to have the fruit of the Spirit operating in our lives. If we don't, then we automatically live like the world lives.
Yeah.
Even though we may think we don't have to, we will be doing it. We will be carnally minded, and we will walk the way everybody else walks. One minister said, you'll be mad when they get mad, you'll be glad when they get glad. The world will determine how we respond to things. Our emotions will be foremost in our life, and they'll be governing us. But when you concentrate and focus on walking in the fruit of the Spirit, what they are, asking the Holy Spirit to point it out when you're not, and ask him how to teach us how to walk in them, he will do that, because it's his idea. It's something he desired. He desired it so much, he put them in us so that we could. Mm-hmm. He didn't ask. He came in because we invited him. And with him came the fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is important to us. If we don't want to live like the world lives, we need to focus on love and the fruit of the Spirit, which is the main ingredient for the fruit. If we don't want to focus on those, the others is automatic. I don't have to choose to walk the way the world walks or to live that way. I'm in the world.
Right.
And I'm going to live that way if I don't resist it. And the world has no law to keep me from walking in the fruit of the Spirit. They can't stop me. I can walk in it if I want to, if I desire to. Kindness should never be confused with weakness. Kindness is power under perfect control. And that's a good statement. Kindness should never be confused with weakness. It's not weakness. It takes strength to be kind when everybody else is being mean and honoring. It takes strength to walk the love walk. It's a man. A man walks the love walk, or a man or a woman. A real man or
like
woman.
Like men, the Bible says.
What's that?
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, St. Paul said, quit you like men. In other words, act like men.
Act like men. Act like men.
Women
stand
too.
Up. Be strong. Man species. So, well, we should never confuse it with weakness. We tend to do that.
Yes.
Well, if I'm kind to them, they're going to walk all over me.
Make you feel wimpy.
Yeah, they consider you, and you're not.
No, but I think people don't know what kindness is.
They don't.
Exactly.
I think people think that being kind is being weak.
That's what they think.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that's why we put that in there, because it should not be confused with that. It's not.
It's something I had to work out, especially with my children. Mm-hmm. Is I can be the hardest, most strict person they've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
But I was choosing to handle things differently. But it kind of built up. And I told them, I was like, you guys act like I'm a weakling. You're walking all over me. I was like, I'm choosing not to come down on you.
Exactly right.
And they all just kind of looked at me like, okay.
It takes strength to do that. It takes spiritual strength, inner strength, not to allow your emotions to rise and respond to them. And to be kind anyways. It takes God. Because we're all subject to that. We're all subject to emotions. That's why this is so important, because the fruit of the Spirit will put us in control of that. We may still slip, but we'll get a hold of it right away and fix it. We won't allow it to stay that way. We won't try to make excuses. We'll just fix it.
Just own it.
And God will fix it. Yeah. When we allow the fruit of the Spirit to have dominion in our lives, we live a higher life than the carnal, natural life. We will be spiritually minded, which is life and peace. Romans 8, 5 and 6. We're not going to go there, but we all know what it says. But you can go there later if you want to, for the sake of time. But when we allow, see, that word allow is important, because I'm the one that allows it. The Holy Spirit will not invade. He will not force me to walk in that. He will allow me to know I should. He will help me to understand. And He will strengthen me to do it and make the choice available. But I have to do it. I'm the one that puts my feet to it. I'm the one that takes a hold of it. I'm the one that makes a choice to put my emotions down and allow the kindness of God and the other fruits to flow instead, realizing it's a higher law. And it is a higher law. Do you know how many conflicts would never have existed if one of those two people, or whoever, how many there were, would function in kindness? And sometimes that kindness may not appear to be kindness. It may be something that you have to stand on in order to make a change somewhere, but you're still being kind. And you're doing it in the peace and the love of God. And you'll know when that is. So this is vital for us. Being spiritually minded is by far a much higher life than living a carnal, fleshly life, allowing our emotions to govern us. We don't want our emotion to govern it. There's good emotions and bad emotions. But the ones that normally govern are not the good ones.
Yeah,
that's the truth. You know, so we need to police those and bring them under the authority of the fruit of the Spirit. As we walk the love walk, developing the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit flowing from our spiritual man gives us the control. When we are not walking the love walk, we are out of control, allowing our fleshly, carnal man to be governed by our emotions. And that, again, that's my choice. See, the love walk is the key. What is it? How do I walk it? And it's very clear, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. That especially amplified. It's very clear what it is and how. You look at that list and you make decisions to be that way. And as you do, the Holy Spirit strengthens you, because all of the love walk lines up with the fruit of the Spirit. They line up together. And that's why it's so awesome the way God's done this, putting Himself in us in order to walk it. Kindness versus loving kindness. You see both of those. And throughout the Bible you see the two. What is the difference? Both are kind. So you can't just walk through life and saying kind. Because there's all kinds of different kind and all kinds of different reasons for kind. Loving kindness is unique. It identifies what it is simply by the word itself. Loving kindness flows from a heart of love. The kindness is done solely from a heart of love and not because of what the other person has or has not done. Loving kindness expects nothing in return. It is others-centered. This is the fruit of kindness listed in Galatians 5:22. That's what that fruit of kindness looks like. Loving kindness is exactly what it says, loving kindness. It's not only a fruit of the Spirit abiding in us, it's God Himself. The Bible, especially in the Old Testament, Psalms and all, talks a lot about the loving kindness of God.
I'm glad you said that. I just thought it was an old-fashioned way of saying kindness.
No, there's a reason it's there that way. Now, let's look at the other one.
It's a certain Hebrew word separately.
Yeah. Let's look at this, at kindness. Mm-hmm. Because loving kindness is kind, mm-hmm. but its motive is different. Okay. So let's look at kindness. Natural worldly kindness can be done from a kind motive or because the person wants something in return. They do the kindness not for the other person's benefit, but to get something in return from the other person. It is self-centered kindness, not other-centered kindness. Kindness, the word itself, can go either way. Primarily, that kindness is self-centered. What am I going to get out of this? Can I maneuver this guy? Or I want a promotion. Or I want this person to do something for me. Or I want them to think something about me that may or may not be true. So I'm kind to them in some way. But my motive was not being kind to them. That's not why I did it. I did it to get that from them. Manipulative.
But a loving kindness is always completely selfless.
It's always completely selfless. That's right, Nate. That's why that word is so important. And when I look at the fruit of kindness, the fruit, it is loving kindness.
Yeah.
Because the kindness in the fruit is based on love. Mm-hmm. So it is loving kindness. Otherwise, it would not be based in love or flow from love. Mm-hmm. See, so I need to be able, especially even right reading the Bible, when it says kindness, what's the context? What's being done there in that? Does loving kindness, is that loving kindness? Or is it a manipulative type of kindness? So, and that changes the scripture. It changes what you're reading. It changes how you look at people. You're not judging them. You're not being mean. You're just being aware they want something.
Even you even ask them, you know, what brings this on? You know, they get you your cup of coffee in the morning and you're like,
This is not their normal behavior. They normally don't do this. You know, so you know somewhere along the line it's self-centered. The Bible has a lot to say about the loving kindness of God. When we are born again, we become God's children and should be walking in His ways, which are full of loving kindness and tender mercy. Like I said earlier, that should be our character, our lifestyle. It should be habitual with us. And when we find ourselves not being kind, it should bother me. The Holy Spirit should, I should be listening to Him because He's trying to get through to me that I'm not kind here. I may be trying to get something from somebody and I'm not, and I'm being kind to them to do it, and I'm on another kindness. I shouldn't be doing that.
Well, we have to also remember the aspect of mercy is what loving kindness is all about.
They're all connected.
Is, you know, mercy is being forgiving and yes. You know, not taking offense when other people are throwing a fit. And
that's
whatever.
Right. Now, the Amplified usually puts the two together, and we'll see that in some of these scriptures. Loving kindness and tender mercy is usually the way it says it. Because that is an aspect of mercy, of kindness is mercy. As God's children, we should be walking a habitual life of kindness. Should be a habit. And if we're not, we need to make changes there. And it's not, don't get down on ourselves if we're not. I've got a few years behind my belt. And some things I do automatically that it's habit. Some habits I need to change and make the kindness the motive in what I do.
Well, and you can even do it habitually. But if you do it so long, just under your own power, you will walk right out of it.
That's exactly right, Nate.
You sure will.
You've got to correct yourself and be aware. And it'd be good to look at those fruits every now and then. I confess the fruits every day because I call them forth in my life. It's just a habit I've had for many years. I would like to say I'm perfect in it, but I'm not. Nobody is. But my desire is to do that. So as I confess it, I tend to correct myself. I want the Holy Spirit to show me where I have not been. And not to get down on myself, because He's not down on me. He wants me to correct it, and it's up to me to position myself so He can do that. It's important. Let's look at Psalm 117. We don't have a lot of scripture to look at today because I knew I wouldn't have a lot of time to do it. But we're going to start with Psalm 117 and verse 1 and 2. Well, that's the whole psalm, I believe. Two verses, I think. And this is the New King James Version. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people. So that's everybody, right? Mm-hmm. All is all. Verse 2. For, the reason we're doing it, for His mercy and loving kindness, see, it's together there. For His mercy and loving kindness are great towards us, and the truth and faithfulness of the Lord endure forever. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. That should be something that we shout about in our daily life because that says a lot about God. It says a lot about who He is and the way He sees us and the way He wants to impart to us. And faithfulness is another fruit, which we will get to later. Some versions say faith, some say faithfulness. And we'll get into that when we get there. Psalm 145 is a good one. It's an awesome psalm. But we're looking at verse 8 and 9 specifically here. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy and loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works, the entirety of things created. His mercy and loving kindness. Now you notice in Psalm 117, verse 1 and 2, it said His mercy and loving kindness. Now that's the New King James Version. This is the Amplified, and it uses the same words, His mercy and loving kindness. God's trying to get something over to us. That this, I'm not just being kind. It's mercy and loving kindness. Mercy is, well, the Word says He's full of mercy. So if He is love and He's full of mercy, what is mercy? Mercy is love because... You know, He's full of it, you know, and mercy and love flow together. So He's slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Slow to anger. Now, there is a wrath. But what does the wrath focus on? Sin. Anything that separates man from Him, that's where the wrath goes. It's never at the man. It's always, in the matter of what he's doing, it's not at the man, it's at the sin. That's where the wrath is focused. If the man does not change, the wrath hurts the man. It injures the man. But that was not God's intent.
What essentially is happening is the man's reaping what he sowed.
That's what he done. But he could sow a new crop.
He could.
He could repent of that crop that he's been sowing and wipe it out. The blood would wash it away. It's all gone. All the entire handwriting on the notes, there's nothing on there. But if he continues that way, that wrath at the sin will also affect the man. That's why people go to hell. Satan was meant for hell, not man. But because he's their God, they go with him. It's not God's idea to send them there. He never meant to do that. Satan is at fault there. But God is a righteous God. He has to do that. It's, the man sends himself, yeah. Not God. Man sends himself there because they refuse to repent.
Nobody goes by accident.
What?
Nobody goes to hell by accident.
No, and it's not God that sends them there. They send themselves. Isaiah 54 and verse 8. This is one of our favorite scriptures. It's another one I confess every day because it says so much in it. Isaiah 54 verse 8. This is the New King James Version. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting. Now there's another word added to kindness. How long is everlasting?
Forever.
Forever. With everlasting kindness, I will. And I always stop on those words because I will is a choice being made, but it's an absolute. He said he will. And if God says he will, he will. So this is an absolute statement. But with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. He identified himself as the Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn, or just like that, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. He will not rebuke us. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Well, how come people going to hell and how come all? Because I just got them saying, he's not going to remove his kindness from us. I remove myself from his kindness. But as far as he's concerned, that kindness is still there. He does not remove it. And he says, he shall not be angry with us nor rebuke him. Now, this is old covenant. How much more now? Post-cross. But he said he shall not do that or rebuke us. He's not the one that rebukes us. He's angry at the sin, not the person. He rebukes the sin, not the man. The man rebukes himself. He makes a choice where he's going. He doesn't have to do that. Because, see, what God's doing here, he's putting his mercy and kindness out there so anybody can receive it. He's putting it out there, and he says, I will not withdraw it. It's there. That's why anybody, no matter what they've done or who they are, can get saved anywhere at any time. Because he's not withdrawing his mercy and his tender mercy and loving kindness. He's not going to. Jesus went to hell and on that cross once for all. All. He put his tender mercy and his loving kindness out there. Even if nobody received it, he still did it. And that's the God we serve. Isn't that so awesome? So many people do not know our God. Even Christians, they don't know this stuff. They see God as an angry God with a club. And they focus so much on their sin. They don't have to focus on their sin. They have to focus on the love and the forgiveness and get rid of the sin. Be aware of the sin, but don't focus on that. You focus on what he did about the sin. I like to think it that way. I can focus on my sin and get deeper into it and never receive the mercy of God that's already extended. Or I can admit the sin, acknowledge that it's there, and turn and receive the mercy that is meant to wipe that away. My choice. I choose which one. If I want to go to church, love the Lord and everything, and focus on my sin, and that's, God can't do anything about that, the sin's going to continue to affect me. I can repent every single day and never change anything. Yeah. Or I can repent, receive 1 John 1:9 as a truth, and allow that to cleanse me, receive it, and walk on down the road forgiven. Not focus on it. Be aware the next time it comes up, be aware that it's there and not yield to it. Or if I do, run quicker to 1 John 1:9. It gets stronger every time. As the waters of Noah, what does that mean? Well, what about that? God made a covenant with Noah. We don't have time to go there. But God made a covenant with Noah that he would no longer destroy all living things with water. He would not do that. And as a sign of the covenant, he placed a rainbow that's still there. But where else is that rainbow? It's around his throne. And I love that because when I first saw that, it just blew my mind that God marked his own throne with a remembrance of that covenant. That's the way God is. He marks his own heart with what he says. He means it. And he said he won't, so he won't. And what it says here, this is as the same. This is the same as that. The same type of covenant I made there, I'm making this one now. And the covenant says, my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. He's not removing it. So we can, that's an absolute. That's something I can stand on. I can make it real to me. And when I'm walking through life, I can say, no matter what I feel like, his everlasting kindness will have mercy on me. I know that. That's something I have to settle in my life. I know that. So I should be that way. I should be merciful and kind. Colossians 3, verse 12, New King James again. Therefore, as the elect of God, so we are the elect of God, based on the other scripture we just read, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy. So here we see, in Isaiah, we saw God's tender mercy. Now, the word is telling us to put that on. I just got done saying that we need to be walking that in our lives. This is, Paul is saying, put it on. That's what he's saying. You walk this kind of mercy. Put on tender mercies. Notice the next word is kindness. Put on kindness. If I put it on, what it means is, it's part of my lifestyle. I'm habitually merciful. I'm habitually kind. I'm putting this on. It's clothing I wear. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. You notice the fruits of the Spirit there? Kindness, meekness, long-suffering, or patience. These are things we put on. Verse 13. Bearing, this is the action coming out of that now, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must. He didn't say, I suggest. He said, you must do. In other words, we're forgiven. He died for us. He carried our sin there. Not just mine, but everyone's. He says, I must forgive. It's not something that I can choose to do or not to do. I can choose or not to do it, but the commandment is to do it. And if I don't do the commandment, what is it?
Disobedience.
It's disobedience, it's sin, and what does it do? It separates these fruits from working. It puts me carnally minded. And I wonder why I'm having all kinds of trouble in my life. Because of that right there. Somewhere I have not done that. It's important, even if the person's dead, you must forgive. And he will strengthen you to do that. It has nothing to do with your own natural ability to do it. You make the choice based on God's word and commandment. And by faith, you receive the fruit of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit to strengthen you to be able to walk through that. And when you fail, you repent and change it like anything else. But you do warfare with it. You do warfare with it, making yourself obey that. And he will strengthen you to do it. He's placed himself inside of us so that we can do it. Forgiveness has nothing to do with feelings. It's absolutely nothing to do with your feelings. If you allow Satan to do it, he will trick you by your emotions. And you'll think, I can't do that. You can do it. You can do it by faith because God said to do it. God will never tell you to do something that he doesn't give you the power, the ability, and the strength, and the way to do it. He said, do it. You must. So because he said, do it, he will empower you to do it. But you have to keep your focus right and keep your faith applied. So, and that is a place where it requires patience. But above all these things, put on love. Why? Because the others flow from there. That's where the power source is, which is the bond of perfection. The Amplified says to enfold yourself in love, or like a bathrobe or some covering, you just wrap yourself up in it. In love, that should be the clothing everybody sees. Now we're going to look at the Living Bible on the same scripture. I like the way the Living Bible says this. Same verses. Since you have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life, and because of his deep love and concern for you, you should practice. What do you do when you practice? You keep doing it, don't you? You should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Does it mean you get ill and suffer? No. It means whatever your kindness does, however that other person receives that kindness, you put up with that. You don't respond any other way. You continue to be kind. They may keep getting mad at you. They may keep cussing you out or saying you holier than thou, whatever they say, but you stay the same. Well, it says it's a patiently, or continue with your kindness, no matter what they do. Be gentle and ready to forgive. We should be ready to do that. Unconditionally. Be gentle and ready to forgive, never, and never means never, hold grudges. Remember the Lord forgave you. So you must, again it said must, forgive others. Most of all, let love guide your life. For then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. I like that. That really explains it in a very good way. That's the Living Bible. Psalm 31, verse 19, New King James again. Oh, how great is your goodness. Now he's talking to God, isn't he? Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. And that means reverently, worshipfully fear you. Which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men. What's that mean? It means that I'm walking my daily life. I show everyone that I trust him. I trust him. And he's prepared these things for me. Goodness, tender mercy, because he's laid it up for us and stored it for us, prepared it for us for those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. He's prepared it for those who trust you in the presence of the sons of man. When I'm walking through my daily life, I need to show that I trust God. Uh-huh. If it means voicing it, whatever, I declare that I trust the Lord, no matter what anybody thinks. I don't have to be arrogant or forceful in it or anything. I just trust God. And they'll wind up asking you, hey, why are you so quiet here? Why are you so unconcerned? What do you have that I don't have? It'd be obvious you're trusting God. You can tell him, I trust the Lord. He said this, so I trust him. Mm-hmm. I have to ask myself, do I? Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have to do in all the circumstances of life as we walk through those circumstances. Do I trust the Lord? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Verse 20, you shall hide them in the secret of your presence from the plots of man. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Abide.
Psalm 91. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. From the plots of man. That's those people that are against you, plotting against you. God's going to take care of you. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Strong city is one that I'm having trouble in, one that I've got warfare going on, one that I'm struggling. It's not just, it doesn't mean that the city is so strong. He's showing me his marvelous kindness in a strong city.
The NIV states it besieged city.
The key?
It says besieged city.
Oh, this is the besieged city. Yeah. Yeah, he keeps me in that place. That's the secret place in the pavilion and all of that. Praise God. That's good stuff. That's good.
We're looking at Psalm 145.
Want me to go back there?
No, but I wanted to just mention this. In Luke's Gospel, where Mary goes to visit Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
Most of Psalm 145 is in her song, My Soul Doth Magnify the Lord. A lot of what she said came from Psalm 145.
Yes, yes.
And I'm thinking, you know, Luke wrote that many, many years, you know, after Jesus had come and gone, and Mary was an old lady when she gave him all that information. But that's why he was able to copy down so much of her song. She remembered that because that's where it came from.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And she repeated what she said.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wonder how come, well, Luke, you weren't standing there watching her, were you? No. Interviews.
Yeah.
He interviewed a lot of people.
Her towards the end of her life, in the Ephesus with St. John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Well, I enjoyed that myself. I don't know.
So.
I really enjoyed this. We need the next few will be on kindness, and then there's goodness, and then there's faithfulness. They all sound good, you know, don't they? We need to look at these. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word. We love you so much, Lord, and I thank you for revealing your heart to us again tonight. Your loving kindness and tender mercy is so awesome, and we'll spend eternity basking, not just basking in it, but trying to understand it, to get a glimpse at the fullness of it. Thank you for revealing your heart to us, Lord, and thank you for allowing us the privilege and honor of showing forth the fruit of the Spirit to others. Teach us how. Quicken us, Lord. Cause us to be aware when we're not walking right. And I know you'll show us how to overcome those things. We want to be the best Bible that people see. We want to be an example of who you are to a hurting world. And thank you for raising up the church, this kind of church, a church that walks in the fruit of the Spirit all over the world. We pray especially for those that are in war-torn areas or places where there's disasters of any kind, or underground church, or places of famine and drought or struggles, or places where there's much wealth. Lord, they all struggle in one way or another. We pray for them, Lord, that you reveal yourself to them and send the laborers there that they need. Thank you for raising up the fivefold ministry in all these places.
Yes,
that they and have a people that will hear and walk it. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.